Turn off my AC, but what's good, man? It's Hoops and Brews. We here. We back in the building. Sorry, rough late start. A lot of stuff to do, but we ain't did this in a minute, so had to go ahead, had to get it in. Joe, what's good, brother? How you doing?
What's good, man? I'm solid. Exciting playing basketball today. Ready to talk about the playoffs and the rest of the playing games ahead of us.
Yeah, man. It's actually a very, 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 very exciting outlook. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Both conferences.
Yeah, for both conferences, but also mainly because, I mean, you know, everybody had this idea of what they thought the NBA was going to do going into this game. And everybody's like, watch out for the refs and all of that. And it's like, no, the Lakers very clearly were the better team today, even though I think the Pelicans, I don't think that they necessarily felt too bad about losing today. Because now you don't have to deal with that with that giant white boy in Denver.
I don't think that's how they looked at it. I don't think that's how they looked at it.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they tried to lose the game. I'm saying they did everything they could to lose the game. And when Zion was hurt, we cool. We'll live to see another day.
You can't. That ain't nothing guaranteed in the NBA. That game.
I disagree with that. If I'm the Pelicans, the Kings team is wounded. Okay, cool. Keegan did his thing. You know, Sabonis is going to do what he does every night, night in, night out, damn near a triple-double every night. But if I'm the Pelicans, we have the ability to much of a better ability to neutralize the Kings and then beat the Thunder in a seven-game series than we do to neutralize the Kings and then beat the Nuggets in a seven-game series. So I, like, if LeBron and AD want to tackle that, go ahead, because y'all got swept last year. Am I wrong?
I mean, yeah, but it wasn't a real sweep. Like, a lot of those games came down to the wire.
Brother. Moral victories are for minor league coaches.
It was probably the most competitive sweep in NBA history.
Oh, they said Zion messed up his hamstring. Ugh. If Zion messed up his hamstring, it's over. Unless Brandon Ingram. That's your man.
That's not enough, man. He's coming off injury as well. He's coming off injury as well. But I do think it was a big game from Zion, though, to go out there and do that. Especially the first half, like, he was mainly only going at other guys outside of Bron and AD. Prince was getting cooked. Rui was getting cooked. Jackson Hayes was getting cooked situations. But it seemed like every time LeBron James or Anthony Davis got in his face, or maybe he saw a double team, he wasn't making the right reads. And then out of nowhere, he adjusts and he's finishing over the top of guys. He's going at guys. He's getting aggressive. This is a big game for Zion Williamson. Obviously, you know, Shaq always says the same stuff over and over again. He's always, I need you to go get 40. But it seemed like he listened to Shaq and he went out there and he did what he could to put his team in position to win, but he just couldn't pull it off because of obviously the injury. But this is a big game for him. And this is the first time, obviously, Pelicans weren't playing, I think, last year or the year, one of these years. But he wasn't there. This is his first taste at the playoffs / playing for him to be able to go out there and do that. In the situation, I think that's big on his career and what he has moving forward for the league. With Sean, now that he's finally, like, you know, in that game shape, and he shot to put on a much better performance than he did in that in-season tournament. I think when he absolutely folded, and even on Sunday when he absolutely folded, only had 12 points. But I think that's big for him moving forward in his career and what he has for the league. Because I think that a lot of people have kind of written him off, but I think the league should kind of get back on that Zion marketing train that they were when he first jumped into the league. If he can stay in this condition and stay with this level of aggression.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. And to me personally, I think that Zion put the league on notice today. When you see me rolling towards the paint, get the fuck out the way. Because he put LeBron on his ass. And LeBron,
finally.
You want to know something like funny? Do you remember when Zion was coming into the league, it was like a stat that said, like, the force that he generates when you take a charge from him is like getting hit by a Hummer?
I think I saw that.
LeBron felt like he got hit by a fucking Hummer today. Because that boy went
straight. Oh, you talking about the one when he took a charge? Yeah. He took a charge, ooh. And LeBron fell on his wrist.
LeBron is not a small guy. He went through LeBron like he was a fullback. And LeBron was a 5'11" cornerback, and he goddamn... What's big boy name that just signed to the Ravens? Derrick Henry. Literally, Zion ran through LeBron like he was Derrick Henry, bro. So I know that the Lakers are glad that, you know that they won that game, and I know they breathed a deep sigh of relief when he went out of the game, because if we're going to be honest, the Lakers were doing their best to give away that game. Am I wrong about that? Like, they were doing their best job to give that game away. And then Zion gets hurt. I didn't understand the motivations for Willie Green. Hey, yo, shout out to the homies, Simon Wace. He said, D-Lo, three-time play-in champ. He's the most mid player in the NBA. He's not the most mid player in the NBA. I'll say this. I give D-Lo a lot of credit. You want to know why I give D-Lo a lot of credit? Because his whole career, it's not our fault he was written off. It's his fault he was written off. He did that shit in L.A., ruined his reputation, went to the Warriors, flamed out, went to the Nets, was whatever.
He made the All-Star team with the Nets.
He did make the All-Star team, but he's never been good enough for anyone to want him to stay. So I don't want to say he's the most mid player in the NBA, but I do think D-Lo will wind up going down as like one of the all-time like great scoring role players of this generation. Like, when you look back on this generation, you'll remember D-Lo as one of the great like scorers that was a role player. Even at three that he hit, I mean, he's obviously been clutch his entire career since he was in high school. So I like what the Lakers are doing. I think what the Lakers are doing is impressive. And if D-Lo is going to play like this, I think they'll be successful. I think I tweeted it during the third quarter. If the Lakers are going to play like they played in the first half every single quarter, then they're going to win a championship. Like, Austin Reeves, by the way, ice in his veins, and I want my bottle.
I got you, man. Next H&B or whenever you go out, I got you.
I ain't forgot about it. You want to know something funny? I wasn't even thinking about that. One of the fans sent me Austin Reeves averages in the middle of the Lakers game. Like, TPJ, look at this. I'm like, yeah, let's get it cracking, bro. They holding my man's Joel accountable on the bottle bed. But I will say this. I still want my bottle, but that was, and I got to give you kudos and a round of applause. I actually got to load some applause into this thing. But I give you kudos and a huge round of applause for predicting that, for believing in Austin Reeves the way you believed in Austin Reeves. Give me your thoughts on the Lakers. And now that they're moving on to play the Denver Nuggets, are they actual real world contenders? Are we going to look at, do they really have a chance to beat the Nuggets? Before you do that, just center your camera a little bit for me. But do they really have a chance to beat the Nuggets? Go ahead, Joe. Talk to me. Do the Lakers really have a chance to beat the Nuggets?
I believe so. I don't see why anybody would believe otherwise. I understand they did what they did in the playoffs. But like I said earlier in the podcast, it was a very, very competitive series. And one thing to piggyback on what you were saying about D-Lo is last year in the conference finals when the Lakers were swept, D'Lo probably had one of the worst series we've seen from a player. He had career lows and everything. I think he averaged like 6 points per game. He was getting benched in the fourth quarter. And when he was out there, he was a liability on both ends. He wasn't spacing the floor. He was getting attacked on defense. And it was a disaster class. It was he followed it kind of that way in the beginning of this season. He wasn't playing that well. He was in trade rumors. And then out of nowhere, his game just went to a whole nother level. Like, for the past, three, four, five, it's a big sample size. It's not just like a couple it's not like small couple games or so. Last 3-5 months he's been exceptional. I think he's having one of the greatest three-point seasons in Laker history. He'd over, I think, 253 this year, shot over 42% from three, and he is there in moments. He's had some decent defensive moments, but man, the three ball has just been insane. He releases it quick, one of the quickest, highest releases in the league. He can go off the dribble, spot up. He can come out off the pick and roll in various different ways. He's making reads. He's taking a lot of pressure off LeBron James and Davis with the way he's played. If D'Lo doesn't do what he did today, Lakers don't win this game. If he can give us a couple, we don't need him to do this the entire series. Last year he didn't give us a single good game in the Western Conference Finals. If he can give us two, three maybe even four games, similar to what he did today. I think the Lakers have a very legit chance. I think he's going to be the X factor for the series, because coming from getting nothing from him last year to getting what he's been doing this year, last 3, 4, 5 months of the season, that changes the entire dynamic of the series. And I also think this Lakers team is just they're more seasoned. They play well together. I think we've got about 4 or 5 more wins than we did last season this year. And that could have been changed if Ham, I think he was doing a little bit too much at the start of the year. He didn't have Rui starting lineup, was running Cam Reddish out there, was doing a lot of – he was just doing too much experimenting when the recipe was right there in front of your face. When he got back to the basics, which is Rui starting lineup, Reeves in the starting lineup, and these things, the Lakers, they start winning basketball games, just like how they did post-All-Star break last year, heading into the crazy fire run that they had last year. But, yeah, so once they got to the basics, they became a different basketball team. They just have to come. It's gonna come down to the execution. They can run these lineups. They can shorten the rotations. Guys can show up. Reeves can continue to be big for him. Rui can continue to be big for him. And they can, if they have to execute down, because pretty much every Lakers Nuggets game kind of ends the same way. It'll be a back and forth battle. Back and forth battle. The next thing you know, boom, boom, Nuggets are up 6 straight, 8 straight. A couple bad plays will happen, and the game is over. It'll go in that direction. But I think that. With the chemistry the team has now, this is now the second year coming back with the same core. I think it'll be a little bit more different coming down the stretch with these games, and I think that they can keep it close. I think they definitely have the star power. Only area they kind of lack that worries me is that they don't have the depth, the bigs. If you look at 2020 when the Lakers beat the Nuggets, they had JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, and Davis. Now you're just kind of looking at it's more just Davis, and I mean Hayes has his moments, but Hayes isn't that. He's not that reliable on that aspect of guarding the Joker. He's going to get into foul trouble quick. He's going to jump at everything. And he just isn't really skilled unless he's, you know, got a lob or he's got a wide open lane to the basket. But besides the big aspect, I think that the Lakers do have a shot at this team. I don't think that – and I think one of the most outrageous takes heading into this offseason that the Lakers should tank and avoid this team. Like, that's not something professionals do. I'd rather get this series. This is a matchup, me personally, I wanted to get out the way in the first round. Get this out the way. Let's go. If we get him, we get him. If we don't, because I mean, we're gonna have to run them to them regardless. We'll get them fresh. LeBron, Davis is gonna get what's today, Tuesday, start Saturday. I think they get about 3-4 days of rest. I come back in, head into Saturday. We should be locked in. This is not LeBron coming off a couple playoff series, not AD coming off a couple playoff series, be getting them fresh in the beginning. If we get them, the momentum will be crazy. I think if the Lakers beat the Nuggets, I'll pretty much lock in a Lakers Mavericks Western Conference Finals. But I do think it's possible this year for us to get over this hump. But I mean, if not, I mean, it is what it is. But I do think I wouldn't bet on it, but I do think it's very actual possible that I think they have a higher chance of beating out the first round than the Clippers do for sure.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are actual contenders for the first time really all year. And the reason why I say that, and I agree with you, is because I believe that if the Lakers are able to beat the Nuggets, I think they're going to go to the finals and they'll play the Celtics. And I think the NBA gets their wish, Lakers-Celtics first round. I think that would be something that would make Adam Silver's heart just flutter and go crazy, especially now you got Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA. You coming off Lakers-Celtics finals. Maybe LeBron. If LeBron can somehow pull together a ring this year, this is a legacy year. If the Lakers win the championship, and LeBron is the best player on the Lakers, I will no longer be upset at anyone who says that LeBron is greater than Michael Jordan. And I think that LeBron has a lot left in the tank for one more final run. And honestly, and this might sound crazy, but if LeBron win a ring this year, he probably should retire.
Not without that farewell tour. You know you need that farewell tour.
Well, why does LeBron need a farewell tour?
Because it's too much. It's just too much. That's too much of an opportunity. No, he's not passing on that, especially LeBron. We know LeBron.
He
loves getting his flowers.
The egomaniac that LeBron is, he's going to take his farewell tour. But winning number 5 and then being like, yeah, I'm done. I'm going to start the franchise in Vegas would be fire.
That would be amazing, too.
That would be fire. I'm going to bring back the Seattle Supersonics because Nike headquarters is up there in Washington. That would be fire.
The Bronny James aspect. Don't forget, you might want to.
He's not making the league. We have to stop.
His last name is James.
We have to stop with this fantasy. We have to stop with this fan. Like he could barely get any time on his own team in college.
His last name
I don't
is
understand
James,
this, bro.
His last name is James, man. You don't think LeBron could strong arm a team into getting
look, shout
the son
out,
on there?
Shout out Black Nepotism. I love it. It's beautiful. But this is ridiculous.
You don't think if Giannis
gets like,
the
it's like,
on
it's
the
like
bench?
J. Cole taking up a roster spot.
You don't think
in Africa.
What is Tanessa doing on the for the Bucks?
Tanessa
roster spot. Yeah. Why is that happening? Because of his brother. You don't think LeBron James got more power than Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I disagree with that though. Have you ever seen Dame Lillard talk about Tanessa?
Oh my God! Because he's a. It's because he's a. Come on, man! Don't do that. It's because he's.
So you telling me a
he
team
brings energy to the team?
So you telling me a team drafting Bronny to bring energy?
To possibly bring LeBron James. And you don't think LeBron James could easily hint at kind of like when LeBron told the Heat to draft Shabazz Napier, then he dipped out on him, and it just kind of just stuff like that. I just think just off the strength of his last name alone, and that he's going to go through workouts. And also, last season is kind of an anomaly for him. It doesn't really showcase his talent the way it was supposed to. He coming off the heart injury. USC was probably a bottom three team in the Pac-12. They were horrible. And it was a mess. LeBron even talked about himself on the podcast. How he watching them gave him a headache. It was just USC was an all around mess. But if he can show some decent skills in the combine, if not, then he can come back to another team where hopefully he can showcase himself, getting at least maybe 10 or 16
points per game. If he don't go to the league this year, how many years is it going to take him to get to the league?
No more than two.
So LeBron going to play three more years?
I say LeBron has two more years for LeBron after this one. You know, you can't.
All right. If that's what you say.
I can see. I just think LeBron himself just has too much. He's too powerful to not let his son not make the league. And I don't think his son is like trash. Like, I mean, he can hit a three.
I never said he was trash. I never said he was trash.
Yeah, he's athletic.
I never said he was trash. I said he wasn't getting no tick on his own college team. And this is no disrespect to him. He had a catastrophic injury
towards the end of the year he's playing.
That he's recovering from. And I don't know. To me, it's just like if he was anybody else's son, would we be saying the same things? No, we would not.
No, most definitely.
And to me, I think that's an injustice and it does a disservice to a lot of basketball players out there that deserve the opportunity. Because you can say what you want to about the Nassis, but he's still got a team. He been in the league for a while now. It's not like he only been there 1 year because he Giannis' brother. Like, Giannis got other brothers that ain't on teams no more.
I mean, you could argue the reason.
Costa's not on no team no more.
You could argue the reason why he was on that team because the Lakers was trying to draw Giannis. That was the whole reason.
But Costa's was on like two different teams, though. That's my point. And then he flamed out. He's not in the league no more.
Those stints weren't that long.
He's not in the league, but that's my hope. But you're missing my point, Joe. That's exactly my point. My point is he had brothers that tried to make the NBA and could not make the NBA. Thanasis made the NBA, and it has been in the NBA for like 7 years. At what point do we just stop this?
You don't think Bronny could do the same thing? Flame out. He's definitely going to get opportunity. He's definitely going to get, if not multiple opportunities, just off his. Like it's too much power there.
I'm not arguing against the opportunities. I'm arguing that if you telling me LeBron is going to come back because he won a farewell tour and to maybe play with Bronny in one game when Bronny get in for 5 minutes over the course of an 82 game season. Cool. I respect that. That's beautiful. That's black love. That's black father, son. That's family right there. I love that. That's beautiful. But if we talking about actual NBA basketball, come on, man. Is Bronny better than Davion Mitchell right now? Is he even better than Davion Mitchell was when Davion Mitchell came in the league? No.
He can be, though. Like, he can be if he continues to work. Like,
Davion Mitchell, my height. He your height. You what, an inch taller than me? Inch and a half taller than me?
Yeah,
fucking height. What you talking about? Goddamn height. You sit up here talking like that's what I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. I'm just saying like if they gotta put if he wins a ring, there is nothing left to prove. There is nothing left to play for at this point in time. You're not getting six. You're not getting six.
Even if
you're not, you wonder why you're not getting six. You're not getting six. Number one, because Shea and them boys coming back way better next year, just off of experience, because they ain't never had none. And in them coming back way better next year, just because off of experience they ain't had none. Celtics ain't going nowhere. Bucks ain't going nowhere. 76ers not going nowhere. Nuggets not going nowhere. Mavericks just rebuilt their team at the trade deadline. They not going nowhere. The Suns strapped in with that cap, and Grayson Allen and KD and them, they not going nowhere. The Kings going to be healthy again. They not going nowhere. The Warriors, God knows what happens with them, but they still may be in the mix. And you got that goddamn alien in San Antonio where if you give him one or two pieces, they in the mix.
You don't think Brown want to pad his scoring record as well and just keep getting all these records and stuff?
What does any of this stuff prove? That's my point. My point is he can keep playing basketball until his leg fall off. But what is the point, bro?
It's basketball, man. I'm not saying LeBron is in the very rest of it too, but that's
Diana Taurasi. It's time to move out the way. It's just time. It's nothing. Look, like, bro, it's nothing wrong with it being time. Like, I don't think LeBron is better than he was any year in his career other than his after his third year right now.
You could argue he's better than this year than last year, though.
He's not.
He played like 70 games this year.
No, he played more games. That doesn't mean he was better this year.
I don't. And the Lakers won more games. He played more.
They made it to the conference finals last year.
The same thing happened this year.
And they weren't healthy. No, you're missing my point, bro. My point with LeBron is, to me, last year, he played better than he played this year. This year, it's a visible fall off. He be missing layups all the time.
He been missing layups the last like four, 5, 6 years.
Sorry, I got an eyelash.
He still had an exceptional season though. He's still unanimously at least 13 All NBA. LeBron not gonna make All NBA. LeBron not gonna make All NBA. Come on, man.
Now let's list All NBA right now.
All
right,
let's do it.
Hold on. I got a goddamn eyelash in my got an eyelash in my eye. Who makes All NBA? All right, first team. Let's go.
My first team, I'm going Shea, Luka, Tatum, Jokic,
and Brunson. Slow down, brother. All right. One at a time, brother.
Shea.
Okay. Why? Why though?
Oh, I mean, best player on the best team in the conference, youngest team in NBA history to ever get the one seed, 30 points per game, consistently night in and night out. Clearly the best player on that team, despite the fact that they do have supporting pieces. He's clearly the guy they lean on night in and night out to get them their wins, and he shows up. 75 plus games, just the staple of consistency and everything you want in your lead guy, night in and night out. I think he's unanimous first team All NBA. And then I'm going Luka, obviously, led the Mavericks to the fourth seed, having arguably his best season of his career. He's out there consistently every night, putting up magical numbers, doing stuff we've never seen, pretty much a new move, something new, wowing everybody every single night. Tatum. Best player on the one of the best teams, regular season teams over the last 5 to 10 years. They comfortably won, clinched the best record in the East months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Led them to the
go ahead.
Comfortably led them to the best team in the league and the East, like by landslide, out there every night, 28 points a game, hitting big shots, playing both sides of the floor. Sometimes he's taking the best matchup while he's also giving them 30. Just another exceptional Jason Tatum season. Pretty much what the norm for him. I think he's been all NBA last like 3-4 years. He's set up for a supermax, I believe this summer. Then obviously Jokic, three-time MVP in the next couple months. Exceptional, leading the Nuggets to another great year. They finished with the 2 seed this year, a walking triple-double. The leader of that group does a great job finding those guys, hitting big buckets, and just doing his pretty much just doing everything you want. Like pretty much just the definition of a modern center, the ability to play, make, shoot, put the ball on the floor and hit contested tough shots. I think about my last pick, I slid Brunson in there for number two. And I think Jalen Brunson has been exceptional. The best Knicks point guard we've seen in my lifetime, over 20, 30 years. And to get them to the 2-seed with Randle being out, rallying this guy the way he has done, I think has been absolutely amazing. He has made the Knicks must-see TV all by himself. Pretty much, they have a great supporting cast. I think they have about 3-4 guys having a career year this season. But all that feeds off of Brunson, the way he leads them, the way he lights up the Madison Square Garden night in and night out, the big shots he hits, and the effort he plays with, and the tough shots he hits, and being at his size, he's shorter than me. I think he's like 5'10", I believe. For him to go from being a second fiddle guy in Dallas to being a lead guy and taking his team to heights like this, where most people were questioning the signing, from going from a guy that's like, I don't know if he deserves that $90-100 million. I think that's crazy. To this dude is top five in a lot of people's MVP ballots after what he's done this year. So I'm throwing Brunson as the fifth guy in my first team on NBA.
Cool. I'm going Shea because, as you said, they have the best record. Also, he's just been the best point guard in the league this year. Then I'm going to go Luka Doncic just because Luka has just been a force, and he's been a force since he stepped in. I told y'all he was going to be better than LeBron. Only thing he's missing right now at this pace is a ring. If he win a ring this year, he's better than LeBron ever was, period, point blank, end of story. If he score less than 32, 8-8, his averages go down. You ain't never heard nothing like that before in your life. Then number three, I am going to agree with you and go with Tatum. Tatum is very vanilla, but I mean, I guess it just matches. It just matches his personality. He's just very vanilla, but I gotta give him credit. He's been balling this season and they had the best record and he was the best player on the best team. Then I'm going to go to Nikola Jokic because he's still the best player in the league to me personally, pound for pound. And just the way he's able to be a dynamo and just really orchestrate the game of basketball, you know, kind of the way a musician plays music, he does it on a basketball court. And then I'm going with Giannis. Averaged 31, 10-plus rebounds, 6-plus assists, shot over 60% from the field, the first player to ever average over 30 and shoot over 60% from the field. So I think he had a phenomenal year, and he's always still a defensive freak, even though he's not as explosive as he once was. And then I'll go ahead and lead off the second team. For my second team, I have Jalen Brunson. I have Anthony Edwards. I have Anthony Davis. I have that's interesting. It's kind of interesting because you might not like this, and I know he didn't make the All-Star team. But I'm actually put DeMontis Sabonis on my second team.
I'm not mad. He's had a pretty good.
He didn't make the All-Star team, but he averaged basically 20 points. 13.7 rebounds per game. He averaged what? How many assists per game did he average? I think it was over 7. Yeah, he averaged 7.7 assists per game. He shot 37.9% from the three-point percentage and 59.4% from the field goal range. Like, he played out of his mind this year. He really did. And honestly, he's never going to get the love he deserves, but I really do feel like he deserved that love this year. And personally, I'm going to put him on that team. And is that 5?
Was that? I think that was 4.
I said Brunson. I said Brunson, who did I say? I said Brunson, Anthony Davis, Brunson, Anthony Davis, Sabonis.
You need one more.
That's kind of hard. That's kind of tough. That's interesting. It's so crazy how Tyrese Haliburton just kind of fell off.
Yeah, they say he's playing hurt, though.
Okay. Well, all he got to do is really outplay Dame. That's interesting. Yeah, you know what? I guess I would probably put LeBron. I really hate to put two Lakers in there, especially given their seed. But I also don't want to put two Timberwolves in there. So I would probably put LeBron there. Who you got on your second team?
My second team, I got Giannis on my second team. Obviously, he got what you say, he's having a pretty good year, but I just can't. They started off 30-13 and didn't get to 50 wins. The fall off is just a little bit too crazy in the second half.
Doc's fault.
That's a lot to blame.
All right, brother. Look. I'm not even trying to pull the Sun U reporter card because you're not reporting. Like, were you at the games? But real shit, was you in them locker rooms after they lost some of them goddamn games when they lost in the fourth quarter? Doc ain't had no real goddamn answers.
What type of stuff was he saying?
Blake was hurt. That's what he was saying. Blake was fucking hurt. Which, by the way, shout out to Blake Griffin, man. He retired today.
Yeah, that's one of
them. A future Hall of Famer, according to half of our Twitter followers, a hood Hall of Famer to the other 25%, and hell no to the remaining 25%. But continue. Go ahead.
Real quick, yeah, shout out to Blake. I just want to shout out to Blake real quick. He's one of the cornerstones of my childhood. Pretty much had, like, the biggest, biggest social media moment, pretty much, like, the first big social media moment when he dunked on Powell, when he dunked on Big Perk and all that stuff. I hated him growing up, but I mean, I think that's a form of respect is when you hate on a player. Yeah. He's the killer, like. But anyway, second team, like I said, I had Giannis. I got KD on my second team. I think he's been. But he's pretty much stable himself as one hell of a player. Just he makes exceptional. He saves games, save plays consistently, and he can also do it on offense. And then Shai Leaf the third, my third team.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going Book. I think Book has had an insanely efficient year this season. I think his ability, him and KD, obviously Beal was the one that's been more out of the lineup, but I think he's been great this year. So I'm going to book on my 13. I'm going Donovan Mitchell. I think he's kind of slept under the radar because Cleveland, they flamed out bad last year in the playoffs, but good thing this is a regular season award. Donovan Mitchell's getting like 26 a game. I think on like 47% from the field. He's dynamic. He is clearly he's clearly the best player on that Cavs team, and they locked up the fourth seed.
They fucking tanked it to the fourth seed. Get the fuck out of here.
Dude, how do you tank to the – how does that make sense? How do you tank to the fourth seed?
G-Day tanked to the fourth seed. You ain't see the last game of the season when they took out all their fucking players and put all them big men in the game and Amani Bates in the second half to lose to the Hornets? Fuck out of here.
So what? You still fourth?
Man,
you
know how many teams want to be the fourth seed? Motherfucking credit for that shit, man. I don't want to hear that shit, man.
Did D-Mitch make that call?
He ain't on my 13 because of that. He ain't on my 13 because of that. Go ahead.
We're talking about an 80-game award.
He ain't on my 13 because of that. Go ahead.
And then I'm giving it to Haliburton, the ability to drag the
You do good dope, what? You're on the finest of the finest of the finest of the finest.
I'm not
the
doing
finest.
No dope, G.
What about fucking Paolo Banchero?
I got two more slots. I said three players. I got two more slots. But Haliburton, don't act. Haliburton led the league in assists.
Off a cliff.
No, and they still got a top six seed.
He is the whole engine behind that, brother.
The Pacers are whatever you want.
Named Sabonis on your list, and you got Haliburton.
I got
on
two
them?
More players.
Go ahead.
The nine seed Kings. I'm so impressed. Go ahead. Hallie, this ability to just charge that and run that Pacers team at the fast pace they do, consistently 99, I think that's very impressive. No Haliburton, the Pacers is the fucking – they down there with the Pistons or some shit. So I think that you got to take that into account. They one of the worst teams in the league without him, I feel like. And then you also I'll throw Sabonis in there, the walking triple-double, even though I feel like a lot of his stats is kind of empty sometimes because he's always ended up being a liability in the playoffs and then my last slot, I haven't kind of figured this out yet, but I think I'm going to go with you mentioned Ben Carroll. I guess I'll go. Oh, my bad. My last spot going to Steph. I just think he's like, you know, when you look at that Warriors team, he was one of the main people to point out how. I mean, they've had a couple of standouts this year. I mean, in Kuminga, Pods, and Trey Davis Jackson, a couple of dudes have been able to really contribute. Wiggins ain't remember how to play basketball until about a month ago. Clay, 0-10 today, most inconsistent season in his career. And Steph is still getting out there giving you 28, one of the best 3-point shooters in the league, doing his thing night in, night out with the inconsistent rotations that Steve Kerr throws out there. I don't know why Steph didn't play fucking 48 minutes tonight. He subbed him out. Late, I think beginning of the fourth or late third, something like that, some nonsense. But just despite all of that, he's still giving you Steph Curry type presence and doing his thing. So, my last spot, I'm going to go to Steph.
All right, cool. And for me, I have in my third team, I have Devin Booker, I have Steph Curry, I have Rudy Gobert, Paolo Banchero. And for my last spot, I am going to go with...
Donovan didn't play 65 games? That's what I'm looking at the comment.
Oh, Donovan didn't play 65 games? Let me see. Donovan Mitchell. Where the hell is his name at? How many points
a game? If he didn't, then I'm putting...
How many points a game he averaged this year?
I think 26. Pretty sure it's 26.
Oh, yeah, he didn't. Yep, he's not even on the list. Donovan didn't play 65 games.
How many did he play?
I don't know, but it won 65.
I get up out the Zion then.
All right, I'm not mad at that. I'm gonna go with I got one name left, right?
I think so, yeah.
I'm going with Wimby.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Without a doubt, a top 15 player in the league this year. 20 points a game, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals a game. He brought his shooting averages up to, let me see, hold on, actually, because I believe it's above. Hold on, wait a minute. I want to make sure I'm right. Let me make sure. Wimby's stats for this season, he averaged 21.4 points per game, 10.6 blocks, 3.9 assists. He shot 46.5% from the field, 32.5% from the 3-point line, 79.6% from the field goal range, win share 3.7, PER 23. I loved everything that I saw from him, you know, this year. And to me, I think he averaged 1.2 steals a game and 3.6 blocks a game. But I don't think that there is a player in the league that night in, night out this year was as exhilarating to watch as Victor Wembanyama. I don't think that there was a better defensive player in the league, pound for pound, player to player. I'm not talking about the team game. I'm talking about the specific player to player matchup. I don't think there was anybody on the floor that was better than him defensively. Everybody was running away from him. You saw Draymond Green even endorsed him and said that he believed he deserved to be defensive player of the year. I believe Wemby deserved that spot over anybody else. And I know everybody will talk about how bad his team was, but I don't think that they were really making an emphasis on winning this year. I think they were trying to figure out what it was that Wemby does well. And what they figured out was he can do every goddamn thing well, including hit a sham god turnaround dribble, one-step dribble layup to the rim from the three-point line.
I'm with you.
Or walk up or run up the court and pull up while playing Nikola. Like this, bro, you know how crazy Wimpy is, bro? Like,
crazy.
Think about it, right? You're Jokic, right? Your immediate reaction whenever a big man is running up the floor with the ball or to that big man is to run to the middle and get to the spot. If Wimpy is running up the court, you have to guard him past the three-point line or you will in the future.
That's
a cheat code.
I can't believe we let Glasses Malone hop on here and lie about Wemby like that. That's I still hop into sometimes that he let that's that man come code. Here and lie about Wemby like that. But yeah, Wemby is he's insane. He's changing the five position. He's changing the five position. Wemby is changing the five position. But
like, I don't think he's changing the five position.
He is changing the five position because if your five position can't get out there and move their feet and get out there and do certain things, you're not gonna be able to compete.
We gotta stop.
Wemby's gonna blow you out of the water if you don't have somebody who can move like that.
What is his nickname?
Alien.
That's like me for the past 8 years on this goddamn podcast lying to the world saying that somebody was gonna be the next LeBron. Ain't gonna lie, I was lying saying somebody was better than LeBron before certain ages until Luka Doncic came along, and now I got a legitimate case every year that Luka Doncic plays basketball for the rest of his career, as long as he win 2-3 rings, that he has had a better career than LeBron James. That's an argument that I can make.
I remember that.
The rest of the LeBron arguments are shit at this point because there is no one like him. So before we rush to say he's revolutionizing anything, let's make sure that what he is doing can be replicated. I don't even think we know if what he's doing can be replicated because we don't even know. Like, they interview Wemby at the end of the season. They say, how do you feel about the season? He said, well, I'm sure that everybody else, I did good. But if you ask me, I feel like I didn't do that well. I only feel like I'm at 15% of what I could be. And even when I would have a good game or I would do something historic, I would go home. I was like, that was a good game, but I could have did better. Think about that.
Talking like Prince Akeem.
But that's how he said it. I had a good game, but I could have did better. This kid is the truth. So I'm gonna take Wemby. But let's go ahead. Let's get in a couple more topics. Let's speed through some of these. Will Kawhi Leonard perform in the playoffs? I believe that he has a torn meniscus. I've been told by some inside sources that Kawhi Leonard is perfectly fine, that they just want to rest him and he'll be ready for the playoffs. So what do you think? Will Kawhi be available to perform? And do you think he will perform up to his standard in the playoffs? Or do you think that the Mavericks will make light work of the Clippers like I do? Because I believe the Mavericks will beat the Clippers in six games.
Six games. What I got to say, I mean, if Kawhi is healthy, he's going to go out there and he's going to be exceptional. Kawhi Leonard, year in, year out, when he's there, is one of the best playoff performers we have ever seen. He's hit one of the biggest playoff shots in history. Obviously, the big shot over the Raptors in Game 7 that bounced all over the rim, and he went crazy. The fadeaway leaning towards the baseline. But just in overall in general, like the 2019 playoff run was exceptional. He was winning Finals MVPs his first like 4 years into the league. He was already getting those. He is in theory he was going to beat the 73 win Warriors if he didn't sprain his ankle in 2016, I believe, whatever year that was. But yeah, there's plenty of years you can look point back to his career where he has been an absolute monster in the playoffs. When he's healthy, he is going to get to his spots. He's going to get to the elbow. He's going to get wherever he wants. He's going to get whatever shot he wants to get, and he's going to knock it down. He's also going to go on the other side of the floor. He's going to create havoc on defense. He's going to blow screens up. He's going to use his big his hands, his length to poke the balls out, get deflections, do all of the above. So, and when he's out there, so I don't see why that would change, barring his health. If he's healthy, I expect the exact same thing for him, but I don't have the Clippers. I think one of the most false narratives in the NBA and in the world right now is that the Luka owns the Clippers. I think that's – I hate when people say that. Kendrick Perkins got on national TV and mimicked Luka smacking the Clippers with a belt, and that's just straight – that's straight BS. I don't appreciate that. That's a lie. You can't be 0-2 versus a team and own them. Doesn't make sense unless what the coach is drawing on that's what the coach is drawing up is, oh, we want – all you want to do is go out there and have Luka get numbers. That's not what we're doing. We play the game to win. So until he actually – beats his team, and even though if he does beat them, I still don't want people running around saying he owns his team because he doesn't. It'll be the first time he beats them in a series. They've met twice already. This is the third time. You don't own this team just because you get big stats on them. But I do think this year, with the upgrades that this Mavericks team has made, adding Gafford, adding PJ Washington, adding Kyrie Irving, these are guys that weren't there in the past years versus this Clippers team. And just with the way Luka's playing and the dynamic of him and Kyrie being the most dangerous, arguably the most dangerous duo in the league, the Gafford additions and the front court is monstrous. Gafford is, I think, shooting about 70% from the field. He's having one of the easiest jobs in the league. Luka, Kyrie, those guys, they spoon feed him. I really like what they're doing. But I think this is year they get over the hump and Dallas does beat them. But if Kawhi's out there, I expect Kawhi Leonard to perform, be, if not the best player in the series, right behind Luka for best player in the series if he's out there.
Yeah. I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to make light work of the Clippers. The Clippers cannot guard small guards, or they cannot guard guards or wings in the pick and roll. I think Kawhi is over the hill as a defender. Paul George is over the hill as a defender. Russell Westbrook is over the hill as a defender. James Harden has never been a good defender. Daniel Tyson is an average defender. Visa Zubac is a solid defender. Terrence Mann is a great defender, but he can't create enough on offense, so they leave him open, which makes him a weak spot for the Clippers on the floor. Bones Highland will not play at all. Kai Jones will not play at all. And I believe that the same thing that Darvin Ham and the Lakers did to LeBron when LeBron scored, I believe it was 19 in the fourth quarter, and I was there to witness that, they're going to spend the first couple quarters trying to run and keep pace with the Clippers. And then come fourth quarter, they're going to look on the floor. Who's the weakest defender? Point them out. Put them in a screen and roll. And you either going to get a wide open corner three to a Tim Hardaway Jr. or one of those other guys. Or you're going to get a lob at the rim to Gafford. And then if not, and it breaks down, you got Kyrie Irving, the greatest isolation basketball player in NBA history. And you got Luka Doncic, one of the greatest top 25 basketball players in NBA history to me. And I just don't think that the Clippers have enough. They're not going to fool me again. They fooled me about four times since I've been covering them. I'm not being fooled again. They're going to get eliminated in six. Remember, I said it. I'm not taking it back. It is what it is. That's how I feel.
I feel you. But the thing is, that's what they did in the last series. They was able to get those. They was able to get the matchup they wanted. They had Zubac going one-on-one with Luka in the pick and roll every time. He was exploiting that, and they still couldn't get over the hump. But I do think that this
year, but we have to – but can we stop talking about last time? Because this team is not the same team. Daniel Gafford was not on that team. P.J. Washington, who's a threat from the mid-range and can hit a corner three, was not on that team.
Clippers team. The Clippers got Westbrook now. They got James Harden. This is not the same Clippers team either.
They're not better.
Not the same Clippers team.
I don't think the Clippers team is they're not the same, but they're way worse defensively. James Harden is one of the worst defenders in the NBA. It's been that way. Russell Westbrook can guard Kyrie or Luka.
I mean, he could. I'd rather have Westbrook on them guys than a couple other.
You do good dope. You do good dope.
Fuck out of here with that.
I guess, man. Like I said, I picked the Mavs too, but I'm not gonna sleep on the Clippers though. I know that they
don't do that.
No
don't
slouch.
Do that.
The Mavs is my pick too.
Don't do that, brother.
I'm telling you, just don't even get anybody's hopes up. They're gonna get washed. But let's go ahead. Let's move on to the next topic. It's over for the Warriors. They are eliminated from the play-in. Number 10 seed eliminated by the Sacramento Kings. Steph Curry basically said that he can't see himself in Golden State without Klay and Draymond. And he followed up by saying, I just want to win post-game versus their elimination to the Kings. What are your impressions on where the Warriors go from here? Obviously, they're in salary cap hell, and they're actually over the second apron. So they're either going to have to shed a lot. So they're going to have to shed a lot of salary or trade a bunch of their young guys in hopes that someone will take on some of their salary. Klay is up for renegotiation. I've been trying to trade Klay all season. Wiggins, I believe it's time for them to move on from him. I think Kuminga needs to be the centerpiece and the star. I think you trade away everyone else that is not Steph Curry, Draymond, and Kuminga. And I think you just try to go with a completely brand new slate. I like Trace Jackson Davis. I think he's very good. He can be a solid big man in their rotation for them for years to come. But I do think that what they need is a new shooting guard. I think that they need a new shooting guard that is more of a 3-and-D Dante DiVincenzo type of guy. They thrived best when Klay was more of a 3-and-D type of player that could flame it up. I think that they need to go and try to find a stronger option at center. I also think that the Warriors should permanently move Draymond Green to the bench and bring in a new power forward so that way they can run their offense different to start the game and then bring Draymond in to create chaos and then run that old school style Warriors basketball. Because I believe that, you know, Pavi said this, and I believe it was like two, that he thought that the Warriors, the rest of the league had caught up to the Golden State Warriors. And Joel, I think you froze, so you might want to log out and log back in. But Pavi mentioned back in 2019 that he thought that the league had caught up to the Warriors. And me personally, I was fighting against it. But in actuality, the league did catch up to them in 2019. And that was really kind of the end of it. What they did was, you can't replicate the greatness of what the Warriors were when they were at their peak. And as you watch guys get older and age out and lose some of their potency, I think you just see just a true testament to how great they were for so long. You know what I mean? So for me, I think where they go from here is just rebuild. And they're in so much salary cap hell. I'm not sure how they're going to rebuild, but I wouldn't be surprised if Steph Curry requested a trade. And if he did, the Warriors should abide by it and do their best to trade him. And whatever team out there better be willing to give up mad picks. I would love to see Steph Curry in a Chicago Bulls uniform.
Oh my God. Here you go.
Trade him for real.
Hit the button for yourself.
Trade him for
Trade
him for Zach LaVine.
Oh my God.
Trade him for Zach LaVine and mad picks. Zach LaVine. Give me Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, and mad picks. Like, I need all of your picks. All of them. And all the ones you got from everybody else too. And then I try to rebuild around Zach LaVine and Jonathan Kuminga. And Draymond Green. And then we got a wing heavy team. You go get you a point guard that can score, that can distribute.
You crazy.
Get
man.
You a center that can stretch the floor or a rim runner. You good. You back in the mix.
That's hilarious. But my thoughts on the why I think it's time to move on coaching wise. I think Steve Kerr, I think he shoots this team in the head himself a lot of the times. I just start off just with Kuminga. Kuminga, I believe, was ready to break out at the beginning of the year, but he was playing 10-15 minutes a night. even when he going stretches, he ended up right back on the bench. As soon as Kerr finally realized this and he played him 25 plus.
No, as soon as Kuminga called him out in the media, let's be honest.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's correct. As soon as one of the rare situations where a coach got called out by a player in the media, then right after that, he's playing him and then he's on the court. Stuff like that has been happening consistently. I think Moses Moody has the ability to be one of the most consistent, better role players in the league. He doesn't play as much as he should play. Trayce Davis-Jackson played 11 minutes tonight.
How? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Especially when you got Domantas Sabonis out there grabbing rebounds.
They was running three. They had Pods, Chris Paul, and Steph out there at the same time. Yeah,
what the hell is Steve Kerr
like,
doing? Bro,
like, what are we doing? Like, I just
think he did good dope.
A lot of good dope. I think it's time to move on coaching-wise. I think he stunts the growth of their youth, and I think he mismanages Steph a lot. I think he had a hell of a run. He's no, without a question, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history based off what he has done, but I think that for the last couple of years, he has been sabotaging his team. So I think, start off moving on from the coach.
You know where he's going if he leaves.
He's not coming to the Lakers. Where he going?
He either going to the Lakers or the Clippers.
I guess, but
no.
The
Clippers are gonna get eliminated in the first round. Ty Lue is getting fired instantly after that game. Instantly after the game, because all of this to me is really his fault. And a lot of his mismanagement as well of this team and arrogance on his behalf. He's going to get fired. And then they're going to be like, oh, we need to keep this team. Kawhi Leonard knee messed up. He's going to need to rehab. We're going to a new stadium. We want a new offense. Steve Kerr, come be the coach of the Warriors for $100 million for the next 6 years or something. Watch.
Wait, it's
gonna
be like, who? Or the Clippers?
I'm sorry. The Clippers. He going,
for $100 million?
Yeah, they watch. They're going to sign him like a 7-year, $100 million deal.
Sheesh.
And he's going to say he's going to retire the Clippers coach. Jerry West is there. He's comfortable with all of these guys. Watch. It's going to happen. Remember I said that. And if not the Clippers, they're going to fire Darvin Ham, even though I will say this. You all hate Darvin Ham.
I don't hate Darvin Ham.
But Darvin Ham has gotten you to a conference finals, and now he has gotten you to the playoffs again, and you all have a chance to beat the defending champions in the first round. And if you do, you really got to walk to the finals. I think as much as you want to and we want to be upset at Darvin Ham's mistakes, you have to – the Lakers were never going to be the number one seed in the West this year, right? Do you agree?
Not number one. It could have been top six, though, for sure.
I just asked you a question.
Not number one, no.
Okay,
no.
So let me finish real quick. So with that being said, if you're Darvin Ham – and you bringing in these new pieces that you think will you be able to utilize and use in the playoffs, you have to experiment. And if you don't, then what was the point of you bringing them in just to do the same exact thing you did last year? So even as frustrating as it may be, theoretically, you all are in the same exact place as you were last year, because if you beat the Nuggets, you're probably going to the finals. I don't believe that the Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets and then lose to the Mavericks or the Clippers. And then lose to the Thunder or the fucking Timberwolves. It's not fucking happening. It's not happening. You feel me?
I feel you.
But go ahead. My bad.
You're good. But I mean, as far as like their future goal, I think you start with the coach. Chris Paul was a 1-year deal. That's going to help relieve their salary because he's off the books this year. That's going to help them a lot. I'm not sure if they end up blowing it up or not. Obviously, they have Clay's bird rights. If they want to go over the cap again and re-sign him, they can do that. It's hard to really look at the team and see what they want to do in the near future. I don't, like you said, Steph Curry is still Steph Curry, and he will fill up the Chase Center. That's a new arena that you still want to be able to fill up these next couple of years. And Steph might want to just be a Tim Duncan, Kobe type player where he gets stayed the whole entire career, get a farewell tour, that whole statue, the whole thing. If that's the case, I mean, you just ride Steph Curry until you can't no more. And I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, would they ever be in contention with this team with these guys? I don't think so. Obviously, you don't really. They get another mid draft pick. They don't have any lottery picks on the way. It's just they're kind of in no man's land. But I mean, you had to. I think you can settle for that though. People they like to bag on the Lakers because we didn't win anything from 2011 to 2020, the 9-year stretch of like pretty much, you know, or 6-year stretch of poor basketball. I mean, that goes with the game. Nobody is good for 20 years, 20, 30, 10, 15 years straight. Like, it's going to be downfalls. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You argue like the best team in the league for a very, very long time. It's just time for them to, I mean, just make sure Steph write him out the league the appropriate way. Make sure he gets paid. Make sure your arena is still popping. Maybe Steph, the Golden State is still it's an attractive place. Maybe as some of these contracts, they get some more cap space. They can maybe bring somebody in to play with Steph. Like, he obviously, one of the big rumors over the deadline was the whole they offered a trade for LeBron. Whatever. I'm not saying that's realistic, but they could bring somebody in. But just make sure Steph gets out the rides out the league as best as you can. And obviously, if you question trade him, but if not, just rock with that. But I mean. A championship is probably something. The 2022 championship relieves. It doesn't look all that bad. You just won a ship you weren't supposed to win a couple years ago. Nobody had them winning that, doing what they did a couple years ago. But it's just, I mean, the era is over. It happens. We've seen dynasties fall over and over again as time passes. The Spurs they've been trash for a while now. Obviously, the Lakers were bad for a long time. The Heat were bad after they won two championships in 4 years. The list goes on. It's just they're another one of those dynasties that nothing lasts forever. It's with the league.
Yep. So as we get ready to get up out of here and wrap up, we got the NBA East play-in games. Who you got? We got Miami at Philadelphia tomorrow. We are unsure if Embiid will play, but I guess we'll see. Who you got?
I got Miami. I got Miami. I think they're great. They go out there and they get the job done. I trust Coach Spo and those guys to get out there and be prepared for Miami. I think even if Embiid does play, they got Bam and they got guys. Kevin Love is a good poster friend. They got guys for Embiid, and they should be prepared to knock them out. I got Miami.
Yeah. I was going to – I was actually going to take Miami, but I'm going to take Philly. Philly is actually favored to win by 5.5, which to me means that the odds makers think Embiid is going to play. I think Embiid comes out and puts on a virtual performance. If I'm the 76ers, I want the Knicks. Like, I think the Heat can still beat the Celtics in the first round like they've done time and time again when they've upset people. So if I'm them, I'm thinking we need to go get that second seed. We can beat the Knicks in 6 or 7. Let's go do it. Second game. We got the Atlanta Bulls Hawks at the Chicago Bulls. Who you got? I'm taking the Bulls, obviously. I'm from Chicago. I'm taking DeMar to go off for 30 points. Kobe White, MVP of the night, 36 points.
Kobe White, yeah, that's my most improved player of the year award. He's been exceptional this year. Shout out to Kobe White. Obviously, no Trae Young for the Hawks, so I got to ride with you on this one with the Bulls. I'm going with the Bulls as well. I think Kobe White done something new. Caruso has been an exceptional player. I watched him the last game of the season versus the Knicks. Just all over the place. Hitting threes, getting deflections, diving on the floor. They got I just got them the Hawks without Trae Young. Yeah, I'm going with the Bulls.
For sure. So, fans, we appreciate you all. Late night hoops and brews after the play-in. I will try to get some more time in, but if not, we will be back with you all next week for the beginning of the playoffs, live with the happy hour on Monday. We bringing the multicam back, so we're going to have multiple cameras again. We got a new switcher. We got some new cool stuff coming up for y'all. Shout out to all the fans. We love y'all. It's your boy TPJ. Find me on Twitter at TPJFHMB. And make sure you follow us at Hoops and Brews. Joel, go ahead and get your plug in.
Get me on Instagram, Joel R. Wilson, Twitter at The Jolts. Follow us at Hoops and Brews. Thank y'all for tuning in. Good episode.
Yes, sir, fam. And until next time, we will get up with y'all later. They thought our run was over, but we back on our grind, so let's get it.